Hey, Trey here. Two things. First, I'm not sure if you know it, but Us and Them was honored with four Associated Press Broadcasters Awards, including one for excellence in public service through journalism. Second, it's the time for the Spring Pledge Drive at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And if you value the work that our Us and Them team does in telling the stories about the things that divide Americans, would you consider making a pledge of support to West Virginia Public Broadcasting? You can call or text to 1-800-RADIO-87, or you can go online to WV Public and find the little red button at the upper right-hand corner. And when you pledge, let them know where you live and that you're a listener of Us and Them. Doing this would be a big help for our show and the other great programming at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And thank you so much. I recently called up a friend of mine, Ann Kelly Skinner. She lives in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay, can you talk just a little bit? Tell me what you did last night.
I went out to a local brew pub with some friends, had excellent beers, and talked lots and lots.
Ann has a pretty fun life. She owns a house in St. Petersburg, Florida. She's a successful lawyer with a full slate of clients. In her spare time, she's part of an all-female roller derby crew. But life hasn't always been so carefree for Anne. In fact, her journey to get here has been pretty dramatic. Anne is transgender. You might remember hearing her in an episode that we did a few years back. She was born in South Carolina, raised in Virginia. For a long time, she was a cisgender man named Greg. Cisgender means you identify with the gender you were assigned at birth. When she was a cisgender man, she had a career as a lawyer in Charleston, West Virginia, got married to a woman, and had a daughter. Anne's transition from male to female had a profound effect on her family and her career. But when I first met Anne, the aspect of her transition she was most self-conscious about was her voice. So it was remarkable to check in with her a few years later and hear her voice. That thing that bothered her so much was now not such a big issue anymore.
I have confidence now. It's just not that big a deal, particularly in person. On the phone, I don't know. The phone is, it's its own little monster, but it's not like it was. Right now, for instance, I'm coming off of a long week of depositions and a lot of talking and a really bad cold, and then several hours of talking, nonstop talking, last night at a brew pub. And so my voice is kind of shot right now, but talking to you, but it's no big deal.
You don't feel self-conscious about it.
Right. Before, I would have been, like, mortified. I would have been like, oh, no, you know. But now I'm comfortable with it.
And is it because people just accept you as Anne and don't judge you or, like, talk behind your – or you don't sense them talking behind your back? Well, she really doesn't look like a woman or she doesn't sound like a woman. I had the feeling that that's what you were thinking before. That was the concern. And now it's just...
That was a concern because, you know, I'm 6'4", you know, it's like I can't blend in or go under the radar anywhere I go, you know, like people always notice me. It's like weird, you know, just think if you walk into any given room and people turn and look, no matter where you go. And so, you know, if I'd been like 5'8" or 5'10", it wouldn't have been the issue in my own head that I made it out to be. You know, I used to think that I had kind of like this backdrop of circus freakness to myself because I was so tall like that. And so I wanted to hide behind, you know, making myself appear as cisgender as I possibly could to like compensate for that. I don't feel like I need to do that anymore. But the reality is that with how I look now and how my body is after years of hormones and various surgeries and my mannerisms. And when I'm out talking to people or out in public, even with the way my voice is now, 99% of the time, nobody has a clue. It's just not an issue, which is the way it should be, whether I'm trans or not. It shouldn't be an issue. Even if people know, it shouldn't be an issue. But that's not how the real world always works.
No, that's definitely not how the real world always works. But before we hear more about life for Anne today, let's go back to the beginning. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting and PRX, this is Us and Them, the podcast where we tell stories about America's culture divide. I'm Trey Kay. In the fall of 2014, I first heard about a transgender woman in Charleston, West Virginia. Anne Kelly Skinner, formerly Greg Skinner, was in the process of transitioning from male to female. The story was that Anne had been forced out of the closet for political reasons. Anne's a lawyer, and her wife, now ex-wife, is a judge. And this whole malicious whisper campaign about Anne's gender status was making its way around the legal community in Charleston. I was intrigued, and I got in touch with her. But we didn't end up talking about any of that stuff. What we ended up talking about was the way Anne talks.
Hello, Trey. This is Anne Kelly, and I received your Facebook message and the introduction from DL, and I'm giving you a call. My number is 304.
This was the first voicemail message Anne left for me, and then immediately afterwards, she sent me a spirally, apologetic email, the kind that makes you think, I have no idea what you're talking about. She was apologizing for the quality of her voice, her femme voice, as she called it. She wrote, "It was cold out. I was really tired to begin with. My femme voice was shot to hell from overuse lately. And due to the earbuds I was wearing, I realized I could not hear the quality, or lack thereof, of my voice. The interesting part is that I damn near panicked and froze up in mid-sentence, which was a first for me."
Excuse me. "The reality of folks' lives is typically that your voice is your voice is your voice, right? At least it's your voice until all of a sudden it's all wrong, and then it becomes something else entirely different altogether."
Something she needed to conquer, like a little traitor in her throat, giving her away. Raising the pitch of your voice can be a huge ordeal for male to female transsexuals. There is a whole episode of the Caitlyn Jenner reality show, I Am Kate, devoted to her struggles with her voice. And at some level, I understood why it is so important, and on some other level, I didn't. At the very least, I didn't understand why Anne was worried about what she sounded like to me. Oh, and as you'll shortly discover, there's some language in this episode which some people will find offensive.
Who gives a shit what I think?
Yeah, I know, right? Who really should? No one, really. But, you know, the reality is people make these judgments because my natural voice just, it doesn't cut it. In a perfect world, yeah, I would use my real voice, but that's, I'm going to be treated in a way that's going to make it difficult.
It would be one thing if Anne planned to live her life as a trans woman. But that's not what she wants to do. She wants to live her life as a woman, without any prefixes. Which was especially difficult when we first met, because she was living part-time as a man, as Greg Skinner. In a way, her story embodies the three literary conflicts you learned about in high school. Man versus nature, man versus society, and in this case, man versus herself.
You know, I've worked really hard on this. I've worked really hard on my body. I've worked really hard to be comfortable with myself. And I've worked really, really hard to like myself. And so you know, I want to be taken seriously.
I first sat down with Anne in January 2015. By that point, she'd been through a lot. She'd spent years hiding her feelings that she was a woman, felt ashamed, attempted suicide once. Then, after finally accepting who she was, she literally worked her butt off changing her body. She took hormones and shed 50 pounds off her big, bulky dude frame. Anne is 6'4". So her height, plus the way she sounds, is sort of a double strike against her femininity. After successfully changing her body through sheer force of will, she set about doing the same thing to her voice.
Okay, so this is taking a recording of my voice, presumably, and hopefully...
Her main strategy was to get in the car and record voice memos of herself. She sent me 37 recordings that she made over the course of 3 months.
I am trying to practice so that I don't sound like a complete and total male. Okay, I'm going to listen to it.
She'd stop recording, go back, listen to it, and then start recording again, over and over and over.
Okay, here's my new voice memo. And I would just talk and talk and talk. If I saw like a sign on the side of the road or if a truck passed me, I would describe the truck or the license plate or if somebody was driving too slow in front of me and I wanted to pass them but I couldn't get around them. I would talk about them and my displeasure of not being able to get around them in my voice that I was practicing. So I will pass this slow cocksucker, and it'll all be good. And
it's not like Anne is that much different of a person than Greg was.
This is Anne's best friend, Dan Radmacher. They've been friends for 15 years.
It's funny because as we got to know her as Anne and hang out with her, my wife and I would talk about it, you know, after she left, and we'd say, you know, she's really pulling it off. Except for the voice, and especially after she's had a beer or two, or three, or four, you know. it's like the voice gets deeper and louder.
Dan has a pretty pivotal supporting role in the story of Anne's transition and her voice. He's one of the first people Anne came out to, and he's the first person who heard her femme voice live and in person. It was spring of 2014. Anne had driven down to visit Dan in Roanoke and to attend her first transgender support group meeting down there. She showed up as Greg and then changed into a multicolored blouse accented with drop earrings. When she came downstairs, the first words she spoke to Dan as Anne were, "I need another beer."
I felt really silly. Because I had known him for so long and I had talked to him in my Greg voice. I mean, that's what he knew and that's what I knew and that's how we just talked. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm changing everything. It was also much harder to do than I thought because I was focusing so much on my voice that I wasn't really hearing what he was saying. And I found myself having to say, "I'm sorry, what was the question again?" And he had to repeat himself a lot.
I was like, okay, I'm just not going to say anything. Because why bother? I remember one time in particular after a visit, Shannon and I were talking about it. I was like, "Well, what do we say to her? You know, how do we, you know, can we say something to her? Should we say something to her?" And I got a text from Anne minutes later, saying, "You know, I want to ask you about my voice." I was like, "Oh, thank God."
I want to keep it up, but I don't know if I can do that.
So just recently, she sent me a few sound files, and again, we've got the kind of relationship where I could say, you know, you're sounding a little bit like Julia Childs.
Something in making it a little more throaty. This voice, at least in my head, it sounds really bad. And it just sounds totally, hopelessly ridiculous.
The Julia Child thing, it's actually something Anne picked up in researching how trans women feminize their voices. A common technique that male to female transsexuals use. They start with an absurdly high Minnie Mouse voice, then try to bring it down to a pitch that sounds more realistically feminine. And as with everything else you want to learn, there are scads of tutorials on YouTube about this.
So if I go all the way up to here, and then I slowly drop it until I find like a comfortable position.
Start down here, bring it up into a falsetto, pinch it in, and then bring it back down.
You want to feel a slight vibration, but definitely more in the front area, not in the back of your throat.
Now after that, grab a damn book.
Get a book and read it.
And every night I would read the book as loud as I can in my most like highest pitch. It was super annoying. But
like, yeah, seeing videos like that, excuse me. okay, see, wow. Right there is a very good example of needing to reset my voice. In any event...
What do you mean?
Yeah, I just needed to clear my voice, and apparently I still do. And you can hear how I'm kind of, struggling to keep the deep, masculine sound, rumbling sound out of it. And I think that I'm doing that because I'm conscious of sitting here with you, and I don't want, if I was just by myself, I'd just let it all out, I guess.
Or maybe if she were talking to Dan.
I don't know that I've said this to her, but I want her to feel free to do what's easiest when she's talking with me. I mean, you know, I think I had at one point I did say something like, you know, if your voice is tired and it's easier for you just to let it go, let it go.
There was a time when Anne felt like she needed to live both lives. At school functions or basketball games, she needed to show up as Greg for the sake of her daughter. But it wasn't easy or comfortable talking like Greg or dressing like Greg because she was never comfortable being Greg in the first place.
You know, I'm kind of smiling right now because what I'm about to do, it makes me feel really uncomfortable and kind of gross, like kind of icky. But if I were to just use my real, quote unquote, real voice that I was born with and I'm walking around, yeah, it's hard for me to just revert back. But I can't just go around, you know, can't go around day to day sounding like this. You know, I can't go just saying, you know, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing in my dude voice, and just have people look at me and say, oh, you're a woman, you're going to be taken seriously, even though you have this really deep voice, this very obviously masculine voice.
Even now, there's not much different between Anne's femme voice and her dude voice. After years of hormone therapy and trying to sound as feminine as possible, her dude voice is still a lot softer than it used to be. No, if you want to know what Anne used to sound like, what her voice was like back before the hormones, when she was purely physically Greg, here it is.
Final check, baby. And then it's on. Game on.
This is a home movie Anne came across when she was cleaning out her house after the divorce. She, or rather he, Greg, was with his daughter at an amusement park, psyching her up for one of the rides.
All right, they're closing the gates. There you go, closing the gates.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs are up. It's a countdown. Look at
Madison. Well, one thing to get into, and I don't know how much Anne talked with you about this,
Again, this is Anne's good buddy, Dan.
A good part of our relationship was nothing but voice.
What he means is when Anne was Greg, he and Dan would mostly hang out playing those multiplayer online video games. The kind where you wear a headset and talk to each other while you're in different locations. The games themselves were intensely violent, shoot 'em up war games, and they spent an inordinate amount of time trying to kill each other. And not to put too fine a point on it, this was a very dude-bro relationship. They'd talk a lot of smack in very un-PC ways, like when Dan's character in the game would get into a tight spot that he couldn't get out of.
I would kind of end up essentially cowering in this corner, afraid to take a step, and I would hear this in my ear. Pussy, pussy.
But apart from that, they really connected during these gaming sessions, would have real conversations about their personal lives and give each other advice. Dan confided in Greg when his second marriage was falling apart. In fact, it was over those headsets that Greg came out to Dan.
So in some ways, the voice is very hard for me. I really enjoyed those conversations, and it was a release. And we'd laugh and we'd talk, and you know, Greg had this booming voice and this even boomier laugh. And I just remember thinking, well, is that going to go away?
And within that question, is that going to go away?
This is my co-producer, Sean Cole.
Is there another question that's like, am I going to like lose my best friend?
Yeah, that was definitely in there. And I remember, and this is something I'm really not proud of, but not long after she came out to me, I was talking with a mutual friend who she had told. And we were, you know, just kind of talking over the consequences and trying to figure out amongst ourselves what this meant. And I was like, I wish I could tell Greg that, you know, I'm fine with this, but I just really want to know Greg, and I don't know that I want to get to know this other person. And I think I even used a not nice term.
Like, can you say what one?
Oh, I think I said something like, you know, I wonder if he could just lead the bitch out of it. Like I said, I'm really not proud of that, but... You know, I'm dealing with this in my own way, and I think I've come a long way since then. I kind of had that realization that, you know, going out, despite, you know, the public attention it might bring and kind of the unwanted staring, was just more comfortable and authentic, and it would be like, if society's expectations were that I should go out in a dress, and if I didn't, then people were going to stare and, you know, oh, look at the beard and, you know, whatever. I would want to go out like me.
I would too. And I'd want to sound like me. Coming up, will Anne's progress with her voice affect her prospects with dating or perhaps finding a life partner?
If a certain percentage of those people are just all of a sudden going to be removed from the pool just because I have a voice that betrays that I was born as a genetic male, well, that's a pretty crappy deal for me.
I'm Trey Kay, and this is Us and Them, which is supported in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Endowment for the Humanities, the West Virginia Humanities Council, the CRC Foundation, and the Daywood Foundation.
Music lifts us up and brings us together, even when we can't get together in person. Mountain Stage brings you live performances on the air, online, and in our podcast. They remind you how it feels to be in a live audience listening to live music. This is Larry Gross, host of Mountain Stage. Find a link to our stations and our podcast online at mountainstage.org.
Hey, I'm Trey, and you're listening to Us and Them. After those first interviews with Anne, I didn't see her for about 6 months. A lot changed during that time, mainly with her body. She had gotten breast implants and undergone facial feminization surgery. She'd done about everything except the surgery to transform her genitals. She'd also moved from West Virginia to Florida, hoping to start all over again in a place that was less judgmental and that didn't originally know her as Greg Skinner. But the biggest change was that there was no Greg Skinner anymore. Now Anne was living full-time as a woman. When I saw Anne again, she looked more feminine. But more than that, she seemed so much more relaxed and comfortable in her own skin. It was summer and she was wearing casual clothes and flip-flops, not much makeup. It was like she didn't have to stretch quite so much to present as the woman that she always felt she was. And her voice,
yeah,
sounded exactly the same.
So the goal of this exercise and this warm-up exercise is to have...
She had still been working on it. She showed Sean and me these apps on her phone that helped her practice. One of them drew a descending line on the screen that matched her pitch.
Then I cracked there at the end, and you can see where it just dropped on the frequency line that it was recording.
Another app actually shows her what frequency she's speaking at, measured in hertz.
Yeah, right now it's hovering in the upper 90s to like a little bit over 100, occasionally over 110 or 120.
Sean leaned in closer to the phone.
I'm sorry, I'm just crazily curious as to if I talk to it, hello, 1, 2, 3, good morning, and it's going from like 84, 78, 104, 93, 83.
That is about the same pitch as Anne's. Then again, sometimes when Sean calls the cable company, they refer to him as Madam. Anyway, the fact that Anne's voice still sounds so manly after all this time and after all the work she's put in, she says there's been a lot of days where she just throws up her hands.
And particularly when I've listened to like newer recordings of my voice and compared them to older ones, and it's still around the same pitch level, I've been like, fuck, you know, I can't, this just sucks. And it's really discouraging. And I'll also admit, you know, it's those moments, particularly when they're really just bad moments, you know, I'll just put my phone away and just not do it for like a week or two because I'm just disgusted by it.
But that's harder to do now, that Anne is living as a woman full time. Back when she had to switch back and forth between being a woman and being a man, it made sense to put the phone down here and there and take a break.
I could remove myself from it just by the reality of my situation. Now,
it's like you could escape into Greg a little bit.
Right, I could. But now, if I allow myself to get too discouraged with my voice, what's my alternative? I just stop talking altogether to people? I mean, I can't do that.
I asked Dan point blank, if the physical part is all where she wants it to be, but the voice isn't up to her standards, is it possible to feel like a woman? And she told me this story. She said there was this one time when she was with Dan, waiting in line at a food festival, and this guy walked up, clearly interested in her. The guy started flirting with her a little and says something like, "My, you're tall. How tall are you?" And Anne opened her mouth and said, 6'4". And at the sound of Anne's voice, all the interest drained out of this guy's face, and he walked away. She says that's happened more than once.
You know, if a certain percentage of those people are just all of a sudden going to be removed from the pool just because I have a voice that betrays that I was born as a genetic male, well, that's a pretty crappy deal for me.
Well, but hang on a second, because it's not just the voice giving it away. I mean, eventually, I would imagine if you have an intimate partner, you would let them know that.
That's a tough one because, well, certain body parts that are going to be different. Yeah, at some point, you know, you're going to have to tell. And if you don't, it's going to be discovered. And that's kind of like a betrayal of trust, maybe. And
or definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. We have to act in a way that's respectful to everybody. But if you've had all of the surgeries and you are at some point female, you have a vagina and all of that, I think it would be really awkward. Somebody asks you out, and then the first thing that you respond is, oh, before I answer, I used to have a dude's body. I mean, no, that's unreasonable.
For the record, as a trans woman, you can't be a candidate for sexual reassignment surgery until you've lived full-time as a woman for a year. Anne did eventually get that gender reassignment surgery in Bangkok. But for the record, the operation didn't do anything to change Anne's voice. That ship sailed when she went through puberty as a boy. There is surgery you can get on your vocal cords, but it's risky. Sometimes it works, sometimes it has no effect, and sometimes you can lose your voice entirely. And back when Anne first came out, she was frustrated because she felt like she couldn't find her femme voice, at least not on her own.
It needs like directed professional work, and I admit that now. That's why, you know, I'm going forward with using the services of a professional, because I haven't been able to get there on my own.
Hello. Oh my gosh. Hello. How are you? Nice
doing
to meet
well.
You, Anne.
Yes.
As part of her transition, Anne saw a speech pathologist and voice coach in Florida named Dr. Karen Wickland.
Okay. So then you can just situate yourself right here, Anne, on this chair, and I'll get you a cup of tea.
Dr. Wicklund works out of her house. There's a grand piano in the dining room where a table usually goes, anatomical drawings on the walls. She works with singers and people with voice disorders, and she has about 100 transgender clients, mostly male to female. This first session was Anne's evaluation, just to see what they were working with. Dr. Wicklund asked some basic questions first, and then, just as an example of what can happen, she played Anne a recording of another client's progress.
This is a client that also is around a baritone, sort of around the same pitch area you are. All right, here's where she is at evaluation.
When the sunlight strikes raindrops in the air, they act as a prism and form a rainbow. The rainbow is a division of white light into many beautiful colors.
So how would you gender that voice?
As male.
Okay. This is about after 4 sessions of training. Then, this was after 9 sessions.
When the strikes raindrops in the air, they act as a prism and form a rainbow. The rainbow is a division of white light into many beautiful colors.
That is amazing.
They take the shape of a round, long arch.
That's absolutely amazing.
And its 2 ends apparently beyond the horizon. There is, according to legend, a boiling pot of gold in one end.
Wow.
But no one ever finds it. When a man looks for something beyond his reach, his friends say he's looking for the pot of gold.
That's something.
I'm actually tearing up here. Oh my God, that is amazing.
Well, I mean, I have to tell you as a disclaimer, not necessarily all of my clients.
I know.
Get there, but it's possible.
Yes.
Wicklund usually does between 8 and 16 sessions with trans clients like Anne. The training actually teaches them to stretch their vocal cords, physically stretch them. You can think of it like elongating a rubber band and plucking it as it gets longer and longer. The tone gets higher and higher. In the beginning, she tells her clients to talk softly, like they're telling a secret.
and to use more breath, which makes the vocal cords easier to stretch.
I'll say, why?
Why?
Why won't you whisper?
Why won't you whisper?
Yeah. So again, we're sort of singing it a little bit or sort of chanting it, but we're getting it in that range. And so what happens if you use...
I have to confess, from the very beginning, even listening to Anne do these workouts, I had doubts that she'd ever sound like she wanted to sound. I felt like there was about as much chance of her feminizing her voice as there was of me feminizing mine. But according to Dr. Wicklund, Anne's voice isn't especially low or hard to work with. In fact, she's had trans clients whose voices are lower than Anne's, she says. And that as long as Anne stays motivated and does what Dr. Wicklund says, she'll definitely improve.
Wheel.
Wheel.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear the pitch? Wheel.
Wheel.
Better. Whenever.
Whenever.
Can you hum that for me? Whenever.
Whenever.
Mm-hmm. Can you feel my belly going? Whenever.
You know, I think there's always going to be, you know, a part of me that misses Greg.
Again, this is Anne's best friend, Dan.
You know, wishes things were the way they were. But.
And I wonder if once she finally gets the voice right, like, and completes the transition, if, like, there'll be another kind of mourning process, because then Greg is really gone.
Yeah, I think there probably will be, though I'll be very happy for her. One, I think she will get it right. She's put so much effort into what she's been doing that I can't see her not putting the effort in to make this work. Mm-hmm. And I think that it'll be more comfortable for me when it's more comfortable for her, and when it sounds more genuine.
Okay, see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
I feel really good. I mean, that was really exciting. I have goosebumps. I actually have goosebumps.
This is what Anne's voice sounded like right after she left her first evaluation with Dr. Wicklund.
Everything has been so hard and just so seemingly impossible. I didn't want to have my hopes too high, you know, and I kind of felt like I was almost preparing myself for disappointment, but none, no disappointment at all.
And this is what it sounded like after 7 sessions. Dr. Wicklund sent us this recording.
The rainbow is a division of white light into many beautiful colors. These take the shape of a long round arch with its path high above and its two ends apparently beyond the horizon. There is, according to legend, a boiling pot of gold at one end. People look, but no one ever finds it. When a man looks for something beyond his reach, his friends say he is looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
A lot has happened to Anne since we first met in 2015. She's gone through multiple surgeries and is now anatomically a woman. She's also taken years of hormones and looks remarkably different from when I first met her. Her voice hasn't changed as much as the rest of her body, but what's changed is she isn't self-conscious about her voice anymore. And that's given her tremendous self-confidence. Today, Anne lives in St. Petersburg, Florida. Her life has had its ups and downs. The first time she took the Florida bar exam, she failed, which was traumatic for her. But she eventually passed it and now has her career back. She's also gotten into roller derby. That was not a sport she initially cared for, but she found that when she played pickup basketball games in Florida, the other guys on the court were too chivalrous to be aggressive towards her. She was disappointed, and she looked for another contact sport where being female was not an issue. And that's what led her to roller derby, where she's made a lot of new friends. When I first met Anne, I didn't know many trans people. I assumed I was meeting a guy who was gay, and after a sex change, he would become a woman who dated men. That is not the case with Anne. Her sexual preference has always been towards women, whether she identifies as male or female. After moving to Florida, she finally had her first serious relationship with a woman, as a woman, but that relationship didn't last. This is an ongoing evolution for Anne, and it is for many trans people. So I wanted to check in with her and see how things were going. And the easiest way to do that is just to pick up the phone.
Hi, Trey.
It's good to talk to you.
Oh, it's fantastic to talk to you.
And what kind of work are you doing now?
I'm doing plaintiff's work as a trial attorney. And so I represent consumers in breach of contract and warranty issues against different types of manufacturers.
So you are very active in your practice right now. Yeah?
Yes. Just over the last week, I've been to, I've had depositions in Fort Lauderdale, in West Palm Beach, in Clearwater, and I have some more next week.
So looking back on this journey, I mean, I remember in the very beginning, you told me how bleak your life had felt in Charleston. And you said at one point you felt suicidal. How do you feel now?
I feel the exact opposite of that. You know, I feel like, I feel very positive. Like, I feel full of life. I feel like none of this matters, these issues, for the most part. I mean, not in the practice of law. I mean, interestingly enough, now that I've finally started practicing and gotten a job and got my license, this hasn't been an issue. I mean, not even once, at least. Not to my knowledge. And
what hasn't been an issue that somebody hasn't, who's kind of discriminated against you or just been unkind to you for being a transgender person?
Right. Yeah. Like as an example, at the office I work at, we've not even talked about it. No one's asked about it. The word transgender hasn't even come up once. And I mean, I'm sure that they figured it out, but it just doesn't seem to be important. And in front of judges, in front of opposing counsel, with my clients, with witnesses, it just hasn't been an issue. And that's awesome.
And when you think of the life that you transitioned from, I mean, you were very close with your daughter at that time. How's that relationship now?
Oh, we have like the best relationship. We FaceTime every day. We both have an Xbox One so that we can play video games against each other online. I'm very active and engaged with her, and I have the best daughter in the entire world.
Does she miss Greg?
You know, that's, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure at some level that she does, but who I am is who she knows. And I'm still her father. I'm still her dad. And
she calls you dad?
So, yes, she calls me dad because that's who I am. And that's who I will always be to her. So, and I'm proud to be that for her.
And how about your ex-wife? I mean, that... we've talked about that. In some ways, that was a really shocking and kind of a painful thing that she had to go through. Have you reconciled or got into a better place with your relationship with her?
Yeah, we both have. We both now have a much better understanding of where the other was coming from as all of this is happening. And, you know, we've since become really close, really good, really kind of intimate friends, which is the best case scenario for our daughter.
And what about Dan? I mean, you mentioned that you have an Xbox and you play computer games with Catherine. Do you still talk with Dan? And do you ever get online and play games with him?
Before I went out with some friends to a local brew pub last night, Dan and I played some Rocket League against each other. That was pretty fun. It was a blast.
Do you still whip up on him?
Yes. Yeah. He may not admit that. He may not admit it, but...
And do you still talk smack, and do you still challenge his masculinity?
No, I don't challenge his masculinity like I used to, but that's probably not entirely true. I do have my moments where I'll do that, but it's all in love.
Yeah.
And it's all in fun, and yeah, it's definitely fun.
When we first got to know each other, there were a lot of unknowns. You were not exactly sure how you were going to be accepted. I'm getting now that you feel you're accepting yourself more, and that you believe that you're being accepted more. I'm really pleased to hear how you feel in your work environment. Are there still barriers that you feel like you need to break down?
Probably the biggest barrier that I'm facing right now, which actually has been kind of completely unexpected one. And this one is a social barrier. And it's like the barrier of dating and trying to date and like using like dating apps, for instance. You'd be surprised at how many people in dating apps we could be very compatible and have like lots of similar likes and similar interests. Then you get to the end of their profile and there will be like this disclaimer: I do not date trans women. I do not date trans people. It's like, wow, not even giving me a chance. That's kind of frustrating.
So that in many ways seems like that's the challenge you're facing right now.
That's a challenge, and it may not seem on its face like a very important or big challenge, but it kind of is, because it goes towards like trying to find like a partner or
companionship.
Someone to spend time with. And it's funny because on these dating apps, I've had like any number of women hit on me first, and we'll get to talking and messaging back. And it's like, oh, this is great. This is fantastic. You're awesome. And let's meet out. And then I disclose. I'm like, I just want to say this one thing, just so it doesn't become awkward. I'm trans, but I am who I say I am. And that changes, or it has changed, the entire dynamic of everything. And it's like, goes from, yeah, I really want to meet you out, to, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to meet you out anymore. And this isn't just an experience I've had as a trans woman. I have lots of other friends in the trans community that have experienced the same thing. And it's like, many of these trans, or rather, many of these dating apps are like toxic for trans women because of this like anti-trans sentiment, even among members within the LGBT community itself. It's like, yeah, we're still members of the LGBT community and we want to be your friend. We'll be your friend, but we won't date you. Because even though you're a woman, I guess the underlying message is you're not really a woman. So the LGBT community is not necessarily one big happy family. We still have our issues, but that's the whole world. The whole world has issues and hopefully as a world and as a community, as time progresses, we learn more and overcome these issues. But we still have a long way to go before we get there.
How do you feel about people in West Virginia and in Charleston in particular, where you lived and worked for a long time? How do you feel about them hearing the complete arc of your story as it is today?
When I was first outed and then came out, it was one of the worst experiences of my life. I mean, it was one of the hardest experiences of my life. And it was certainly one of the scariest. And I felt like the community that I had worked so hard to become a part of in West Virginia, with the exception of some small parts of it, abandoned me. And that hurt. And I didn't understand. I mean, I knew why, because there was a lot of unknowns and a lot of ignorance. And yeah, there's just outright discrimination and bigotry.
I mean, the name of this show is Us and Them. And you said that you had worked hard to become a part of this community. So in a way, you were an us.
And then all of a sudden, overnight, I was them. And I was them in a way that I had never been them before. And it was hard. I mean, it was ridiculously hard. And it shouldn't have been that hard. All of that led, ultimately, to me leaving West Virginia. I want West Virginia to be this awesome, accepting, inclusive state. It's not that yet, but I hope that stories like mine, even if it's in some small way, can help contribute towards a growth and evolution of like these issues on like trans issues, and to show that, hey, I'm just another person just wanting to live life and just wanting to work and just wanting to be happy. I'm not trying to shove, you know, these made up politically wedge issue, divisive issues down people's throats. I just want to play roller derby. I just want to go to the movies. And I just want to use the bathroom, you know?
You just want to be Anne.
I just want to be Anne. And that's it. And if I can help do that in some small way or in any way at all through telling a story, then yeah, I'll do that.
And thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me and giving me an update to a story that seems to be transitioning nicely.
I love that. Yeah. It's true, and it's my absolute pleasure to talk with you.
You've been listening to Us and Them. If you have any questions you'd like me to ask Anne, contact me through our Facebook page or Twitter at Us Them Podcast, or via email, trey@usandthempodcast.com. And you can also connect with me through the West Virginia Public Broadcasting website, wvpublic.org. Huge thanks to my friend Sean Cole for producing this piece with me, Trey Kay. Mitch Hanley mixed it and made it sound pretty. The new material was produced by Eric Malinsky and edited by Kate Smith. Michael Lipton and Tristan Lozow wrote and performed the Us and Them show music. Mark Lerner designed our logo. Rita Crisoffi designed our image for the web. The wonderful people at PRX and West Virginia Public Broadcasting make Us and Them possible. So do grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Endowment for the Humanities, West Virginia Humanities Council, the CRC Foundation, and the Daywood Foundation. Us and Them was originally developed with the assistance from the mentorship program at AIR, the Association of Independents in Radio. We'll see you next time on Us and Them.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.